Well, I know I'm stating the obvious here, but we live in a very competitive world. We live in a world where we compete for grades, and we compete for jobs, and we compete for attention and praise. And most of it of us, if I'm to guess here today, like to win. You all like to win? Anybody here love to lose? No. Most of us really like to win. We like to be close to the top, at least. But sometimes reality sets in. There is only one Yo-Yo Ma. There is only one GOAT, greatest of all times. And in the NFL, that would be Tom Brady. You know, as a pastor, I listen to sermons by Andy Stanley, John Ortberg, and Bill Hybels, and I just have to tip my cap and admire their giftedness and try to learn from them. They're exceptional communicators. And you go, guys. And one thing I think we all have to come to grips with is that if our contentment is always based on winning, we're not going to be happy a whole lot of the time, are we? It's going to be hard to find joy if we can only find joy when we win. Well, on vacation a few weeks ago, a friend of mine who's a sports show talk host in Ann Arbor invited me to a golf outing that he was putting together with a former quarterback, Rick Leach. He even thought it might be possible to get Jim Harbaugh there, which would have been, like, amazing for me. It didn't work out. But I have to admit, after this plan came together, I was more than a little intimidated. Rick Leach is the best pure athlete I've ever known. He was All-State all 3 years in football, basketball, and baseball at our crosstown rival, Flint Southwestern. We graduated the same year, and for 3 years, I sat on the far end of the bench and watched as he dismantled our teams. He's the only one of two quarterbacks who started as a true freshman and started all 4 years. He played in an Orange Bowl, three Rose Bowls, earned All-American status both as a quarterback and as a first baseman. And he was a Heisman Trophy finalist. He ended up being the first-round draft choice of both the Denver Broncos for football and the Detroit Tigers for baseball, played 12 years in the professional league, and when he retired, his family happened to move just down the road from us. Two sons ended up running track with my daughter. But other than saying hi, I never really got to know him, never talked to him. I'd followed his career for all these years, and now I was going to be in a foursome with him and a few other professional athletes. I told Catherine about it, and she basically said, "What, are you nuts? You are going to get crushed." Nice to have a supportive spouse, isn't it? Yeah. You see, my golf game, and some of you know this, is best described as blind squirrel golf. You know, every now and then the blind squirrel finds a nut. Every now and then I hit a good shot. So I step up in the first tee box, and Rick starts humming the fight song of Flint Southwestern. That kind of ticked me off. And I, miracle, hit it a country mile down the middle of the fairway. That's highly unusual. And as miracles go, my golf game that day was right up there with parting the Red Sea. Thank you, Jesus. But you know what? I had an absolute blast getting to know this guy that I had kind of worshipped or at least strongly admired for so long. I get to see him for a real person, and he talked about his father had just passed away a couple months ago. He had suffered with dementia for 10 years. Had a nice dinner at his place, got to know this group of guys. And, you know, I didn't end up at the top of the scorecard. But there's so much more than winning or losing to this life, isn't there? 1 Corinthians 13, St. Paul tells us, do your best. Set your eyes on the prize. Run in such a way to win, absolutely. But in our reading for today, St. Paul writes about finding contentment no matter what, no matter our circumstances, no matter the outcome, win, lose, or draw. And St. Paul writes, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. What a life-changing way of thinking. What a life-changing way of seeing the world, that your contentment is not found on winning or losing, that your true happiness is not found on any scorecard or in what people say about you, but who you are as a child of God. Paul writes, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. You know, probably like you, through the years I've known more than a few people who are very successful on the human scorecard. You know, done well in business, done well financially, great family. Yet sometimes some of the most successful people can be a little miserable on the inside. They spent their whole lives trying to prove something to somebody. And no matter how hard they work and no matter how successful they become, it fails to fill that empty spot in their souls. So I think St. Paul has this right. Our attitude and how we deal with wins and losses is far more important than the final score. It's about finding contentment regardless of the circumstances. It's about finding contentment not in the ratings of men, but in the eyes of God. St. Paul writes these words at a setting in the prison cell, that he's found contentment not in the measurement of others, but in the one who made him who he is. That's God. That in the end, contentment is not found in any human scorecard, but in our worth as a child of God. You know, quite often when I talk to people who are really struggling, one of the things that I often see is that they're struggling with a sense of self-worth. Sometimes they were raised in homes where a parent or parents were very critical and that they could never measure up to the impossible standards that were set. That impacts people. That impacts kids. I remember a number of years ago reading Lee Iacocca's autobiography. He was, of course, the very successful former CEO of Chrysler Corporation. And he wrote in his autobiography about how he was constantly driven and miserable by trying to prove something to his father. But no matter how hard he tried, it was never enough. There was always more he could do to earn his father's love. You know, I experienced a little bit of that. My father, especially when it came to grades, was very demanding. And no matter how well I did, he always found a way to kind of try to put some heat on me to do better. And then, one day I was going through some boxes in our attic, and I found in this box some of my father's high school report cards. And I didn't say a word to him, but I laid them out on the kitchen table, and then I put my report card right next to them. I never heard about grades again. The truth is, we do live in a competitive culture that can beat us up and spit us out. And it's not hard to find judgmental people who will put us down without knowing all the facts. People who think that by putting others down that they somehow will lift themselves up. And playing that game will almost only always guarantee that we will not find contentment in our souls. So St. Paul writes, in effect, let that go. Just let it go. Your contentment should never rest in the human scorecard, but only in your worth as a child of God. You know, God's love for you is never earned. It's always, 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 always freely given. God's love for you has nothing to do with your GPA or your golf score. thank you, or the number of friends that you have on Facebook. John Piper, in his book, Don't Waste Your Life, writes this: God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. And I might add to that, that our commitment is not to be found in the judgment of others, but only, ultimately, in the love of God. So in this super competitive culture where everyone seems to be fixated on winning and earning the praise of their peers, St. Paul says, skip it. Don't get hooked by comparison and the judgment of those who, in the whole scope of things, really don't matter. Find your contentment in God and in the things of God, not in the praise of men or of women. You know, isn't that true? So often we evaluate ourselves by comparing ourselves to others. We measure our self-worth by the metrics of this world. We try to please everyone instead of seeking to please God. We measure our self-worth according to popularity, and when we do that, we will never find the contentment that comes from God or the joy of living in true community. Comparison kills, and constantly competing with others destroys any chance for us to experience a true sense of community with others. It just isolates us and deprives us of rich and rewarding friendships. I want to close today with a story that Kay Paulson gave me a number of years ago. It's written by Philip Farham. It's about a rich industrialist who was disturbed to find a fisherman sitting lazily beside his boat. "Why aren't you out there fishing?" he asked. "Because I've caught enough fish for today," said the fisherman. "Why don't you catch more fish than you need?" the rich man asked. "What would I do with them?" "Well, you could earn more money," came the impatient reply, "and buy a better boat so you could go deeper and catch more fish. You could purchase nylon nets and catch more fish and make more money, and soon you would have a fleet of boats and you'd be rich like me." The fisherman asked, "Then what would I do?" "You could sit down and enjoy life," said the industrialist. "What do you think I'm doing now?" the fisherman replied as he looked out at the placid sea. You know, true contentment is not found in our wins nor diminished by our losses. It's not found in the stockpiles in our barns or in the approval of people who are eager to judge us, but in the one who makes you who you are, the giver of life, the God of all creation, the God who loves you just as you are. Let's pray. Lord God, help us to find our contentment in you. Not in the scorecards that humans keep, not in the measurement of mankind. Help us to live with joy, whatever our circumstances, for we know that we can make it through anything in the one who makes us who we are. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.